Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Aging, our focus this morning, but we're going to approach this from a little different way, and we'll get into that in just a second. Valerie Hobson-Bell with Elder Care Connections is here this morning. Valerie, it is always good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here, and you have brought along a friend this morning.
Well, more than a friend, she's actually my business partner,
yeah.
Meg Pemberton, who is an RN. She is now operating Elder Care Connections.
Well, Meg, welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, Ted. I'm so excited to be here. So nice to meet you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we're going to talk. We were just saying a minute ago, Valerie's been on. Valerie, you go back. You're one of the long-time guests.
I think we started in 2006 with Medicare Part D.
Yeah. And that whole easy to understand concept. We got through that, but we have talked about aging, but never really geriatric care management.
That is
and
correct.
There's a lot to that.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So there's various aspects, but the bottom line is, geriatric care managers will kind of hold your hand through the whole aging process. We will help with various services, let's say, creating a plan to take care of your loved one, trying to help understand what it takes to keep someone in their home, to take care of them in their home.
And to help families who are just sort of beginning on this journey, because it's a journey, and just helping them connect the dots and know where to turn. So folks who have elderly parents who are starting to fail in one way or another, whether dad has just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease or mom has heart disease, which is the journey I went on, we help them get together, understand what the resources are. You kind of want to say you help hold their hand as they walk that path, because it's not an easy journey. And every journey is different, so we're prepared to help them with really anything that comes up.
And Meg likes to say navigate.
Yes.
So she will navigate that journey. There's been times where there's multiple siblings, and we've had to sit at the table literally with all of them to make sure everyone gets on the same page. So you understand what this diagnosis is, how the best way to treat it, what the options are. Mm-hmm. We actually help people to find maybe the best specialist for something that we feel is out there, primary care. We actually talk to people about getting their paperwork in order. So yes. We'll find an elder law attorney for you to make sure that everything is documented and in place.
One of the things that we focus on, and I like to focus on particularly, is aging in place. So about 90% of seniors want to stay in their own home regardless of what. They've been in that home for 40 plus years. They're not going anywhere else, but that home may not be safe for them anymore. So we're able to go in, assess them, assess their home, and then come up with that plan of care, as Valerie mentioned, that lets them know what they might need to do in the home so they can stay there safely. Mm-hmm. If that's not possible, what resources to call upon to help, or where they might go to find that safe home. I have a good friend in the business who used to always talk about caring for seniors in their home, wherever home may be. So we do that in their own home, whether they're in assisted living, a skilled nursing facility, etc.
I guess people need to get, when should you get a geriatric manager? Do you wait until you get the diagnosis, or are you kind of looking maybe to the future and saying, you know what, in a few years, we may have to do something here? It seems like that's probably the better way to do it if you can.
Yes, if you can. I think planning is always best. And I do talk about that even folks my age.
That's
I'm 58.
Correct.
You know, and already having the conversation with my husband about, look, we're in a three-story, almost 3,000 square foot home. out on 68 acres in the country. We don't need to be there when we're a little bit older and we need to be closer to medical care. So that's a good time to start thinking ahead and planning ahead, particularly with your estate planning, trust, living wills. Families often do wait until the crisis before they reach out. And we're very skilled at helping them through those crises. But planning and staying ahead of that is certainly better. I mean, the last place you want to be is in that hospital. Mom or dad has had a stroke. Now what do we do? And we can help you through that.
I was thinking of that, of the two extremes of you can plan, but then what happens if a scenario all of a sudden comes and then you're confronted with it. The other thing, I guess, you mentioned, because I was wondering too, about say you're looking at aging and you're in a split foyer, or you're dealing with a lot of steps, and you might want to think about that, I guess.
Yes, you do. And it's as simple as, is there a handrail? You know, in some of our older homes, code didn't require those. So I've met families where that's a simple fix. We can put a handrail in. Some families do need to look at, you know, that electric chair that slides up and down. Or moving the senior to the bottom level.
Yeah. You know? Changing a dining room into a bedroom. You know, a lot of people don't like that idea. But if your goal is to age in place no matter what, we have to be able to make adjustments.
Absolutely. Because that's, you know, again, the last thing you want is that crisis, and that usually comes with a fall.
I was just going to say, in my grandmother's case, she just insisted on staying in her home, but she had narrow steps into a basement that wasn't finished, that was just, you know, a concrete kind of basement.
Yeah.
She lived alone. She fell and was there for a day or two until.
Oh.
And so these are things that they're hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And as geriatric care managers, we're going to look at that big picture. Mm-hmm. So you may call us in for one thing, but we're going to start talking about how all of the pieces work together.
Yes.
And so in that plan that Meg was talking about, after we would do an assessment, then we're going to talk about a PERS, which is a personal emergency response system. You know, that button that you push, I've fallen and I can't get up. Some people don't think about it. Some do.
Yeah.
But then you need to know about the right type of system to get for where you are and what your lifestyle is. Because some of them will follow you out of the home and still be useful. So it's just looking at every aspect.
And we look also, you know, not only just at the safety in the home, but also, you know, how do we keep that senior engaged? Because something that the research is now showing, and I think as a nurse I've known that for years, loneliness and isolation is killing our seniors. And that's, you know, they stay in their homes, they become widows or widowers, and then they lose contact or don't have the contact with their families that they should. They stop seeing their friends, et cetera, and suddenly they're in that home, you know, 24/7, and it's just not good for them. So I also share with them on ways on how to connect with them through electronics. You know, we think our seniors are not, you know, in this electronic age and digital age that they can't keep up with some of these things, but there are tools out there to help. So that's another way that we help keep them at home.
As well as looking at some nonprofit agencies. We do a lot of referrals to nonprofits. So it would be Senior Visitor Program with Mental Health America or with Area Agency on Aging. They have their senior cafe. If the person is able to get out, you know, we look at what those options are just to get them engaged again.
Valerie Hobson-Bell here this morning. Meg Pemberton is here from Elder Care Connections. We're talking about geriatric care management, and we will continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Geriatric care management, our focus this morning from Elder Care Connections. Meg Pemberton and Valerie Hobson-Bell are here. Meg, since this is your first time here, we need to hear your story. How did you get involved in all of this?
How did I get involved in all this? Well, I am a nurse. Okay. Yeah. For years and years, of course, took care of seniors and their families in the hospital setting, became an administrator doing lots of things over at the hospital, both in the emergency department and capacity management and several things, had an opportunity to step out and join a local non-medical in-home care that provided caregivers in the home, and really felt a passion for that because of the journey I'd been on with my parents. My dad had Alzheimer's disease, and my mom had fairly severe heart disease. But even as a nurse, I didn't see some of those changes in my dad. It was actually a family friend who's a nurse who actually called one day while my dad was at the beach with them and said, "Gosh, Meg, your dad has changed. You know, he won't do his walk on the beach alone. He won't actually get off the porch with your mom. He won't leave her side. And when he was trying to make a sandwich today for lunch, he didn't know how to put it together." And then the bells and whistles went off in my head. And so often that's the case. Our families, you know, are so close to their loved ones that they don't see the subtle clues. And by that time, he had stopped working. He didn't stop until he was about 72, but he actually lost his job. And so things began to fall in place when we realized there had been issues at work. So I was working a lot of hours. I had two teenage daughters, a husband working, and as a professional, I felt like I should know it all. I should know what all the resources are. I should know where to turn, what to do. And while I understood the diagnoses and what was going to happen and could help with that, I needed help connecting all those dots. I needed help. And that's when we reached out to Elder Care Connections and Valerie Hobson Bell. That was back in 2008, 2009. It was a while ago. And she was a godsend. Really helped point us in the right direction. She knew what I needed to learn from her to help take care of Mom and Dad. And she, along with a nurse practitioner in the area who did senior care work, were very good at helping me understand what I needed to do with Dad. My first thought and the first question I had from the nurse practitioner was, "What is your plan when your dad can no longer care for himself?" And I just said, "Well, he's coming home with us, with me, you know, of course." Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and said, "Meg, you can't do that. That will be very detrimental to your marriage and your family. You really need to think about that." And I listened to that message very, very seriously. And ultimately, Dad did enter assisted living and then skilled care. And that's, again, where Valerie helped, not only to help us find those places that were perfect for Dad, but they, along, you know, often clients we meet, they weren't smart with their money, you know. I think it's a different generation now that's learned these things. So they went through their finances very quickly. So then we were faced with Medicaid. And I had no clue. I'd never really done any of that work. So Valerie, again, stepped in and helped us through that maze and got what we needed for Dad and were able to place him again. So very thankful for those services. It was very inspiring to me. And I sort of began to realize, gosh, what a service. And people need that service. They don't always know they need that service. And as I sort of transitioned and, you know, the years passed and both Mom and Dad have passed, you know, I needed to move on and do different things. You know, I think often at our age, it's time to find sort of a second career or something else. I actually retired for a very short period of time, thought that was going to be great. My husband's retired, but, you know, after 6 months, I was going crazy. I needed something to do. So I started with a blog and realized that I still have something to offer. So decided to go into the elder care business as far as helping families, seniors and their families navigate that journey. So Valerie and I reconnected through Partners in Aging, and here we are. And it's, I think, been a great partnership.
So with my background in social work, human services, and then Meg is a nurse, as she said, we just kind of really meld together.
Yeah,
to be able to help the community.
Well, and Valerie, was Meg's story is fascinating to me, just because if you were kind of at least on the edges of this, and still had, you know,
still needed
help. For those of us who this all of a sudden is thrown at us, we can't possibly know where to go and where to turn and what to do.
Absolutely. And so, you know, for me, because this business now is 13 years old, I've always thought, if I could get people to understand that this is a dollar well spent, because we can relieve a lot of the stress that the folks are going through while they're still trying to go to work every day, while they're still trying to raise their children or whatever the case is.
Absolutely.
So we pay for a lot of different services. We pay for our attorney's advice. You know, we pay for our financial planner's advice. Why not pay for aging care when it relates to your loved one?
Absolutely.
To help you through that process.
Because not to do that, you're going to eventually get stuck.
I was going to say, some people will be somewhat successful at it, but you will have spent your wheels in places that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
When we can help you get to the end point.
Absolutely.
Much smoother.
And I think, you know, it's so important to think about that time that you're spending on it, because it is very time consuming, especially when you're trying
lots
to figure out lots of phone
and
calls. And, you know, I was fortunate to be able to be in a position where I could make some of those calls, but even still struggled to need the help. You know, I had a very forgiving boss who was very helpful and said, Meg, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Not everybody's in that position. And then there are also sometimes there are family dynamics that you need to help with. I was very fortunate. There are six of us. We all kind of figured it out. And I, you know, did the medical stuff. I had one who did the financial stuff. And it worked for us. But some families, as Valerie alluded to earlier, it doesn't work well. There's a lot of infighting or disagreements. So to be able to help them figure out how to manage that and handle that is important, because in the middle, when you're in the middle of it, it's emotional.
That's correct.
And Valerie, when you, one of the things that just came to mind, and I'm sure this is one of the harder things to do, when you talk about, you know, investing in this, you're going to have some people that just say, why would we pay for that? And I could see that
absolutely.
Is a big stumbling block, because while mom or dad are languishing here and you're trying to figure out what to do, you've got some that are going to be arguing over, we're not paying for that.
Yes.
Absolutely. And so, you know, there are situations where I've said before, one family, there were five children. We had one on Skype, so we could see her, and she lived in Colorado. We had another one that was on speakerphone, and then three of them were sitting at the table. You know, and we're all going at it. They're all able to ask questions, and we finally got to a happy medium as to where mom was going to live.
Yeah.
And, you know, how we were going to use her funds and what it was that they wanted to see in terms of her quality of life.
Yeah.
And so we help people get to that point without a lot of the, I guess, a lot of the emotion.
Yeah, the emotion. Once that gets a hold of it, it makes it harder to make an objective decision or
have an
objective conversation.
And so in terms of other folks, I've actually had a wife who knew that she had end-stage cancer. She went to an attorney and wrote Elder Care Connections into her husband's trust. So it was the attorney who paid for my services, and I ended up caring for that gentleman for about 9 years.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that was 9 years after his wife passed. But we kept him in the same quality of life and quality of living that she had, and that was her request.
Yes.
Are there just some general situations to look for to say these things are happening or this is happening? I may need a geriatric care manager.
Yeah, so I think for seniors and their family, when they begin to notice those, more than just a memory lapse, more than just I can't find my keys this morning. And I like to tell folks, when you start to find the keys in the freezer, that's when we need to be concerned. That's one way to look at it. But as families notice those changes, it's a good time to reach out at that point, because we can help with those assessments and work with their physician to make sure they're assessed. You know, there are certain tests that you can do to sort of determine whether or not it's more than just I lose my keys every now and then.
Yeah.
So you want to definitely be on that. And once you have those diagnoses in place, that planning can really begin and you can stay ahead of that curve. Other families may not live locally or close to their parents, and they may just begin to notice some things on the phone. They sound a little different. Something's going on, but their parents being, you know, independent and we're okay, aren't acknowledging anything. So that's also a good time when we can step in and help. And as we...
I want to say, with those folks, we could actually accompany those parents to their medical appointments and report back to the adult children who live out of state. So they're still being a part of that process and staying up to date as to what's going on.
So you go along. You can go along and do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we can liaise in a sense that being able to understand the medical jargon and to be able to break that down for family members. Because quite honestly, sometimes that's sort of an issue, particularly with seniors who, you know, have such faith, rightly so, in their physicians, that whatever they, you know, sometimes they're just hearing what they want to hear.
That's
right. I'm going to be okay. It's all right. Whatever that might be, we can help sort of get through that to what the real issue is.
Or to remember things. Because I know when I've gone to the, when I've gone, it's always good to have somebody with you. Because when I've had some important medical issues, and when I've gone by myself, I've missed some things, and, and when someone else has gone along, they remember things. Or you just can't always process it.
That's true.
Again, we're talking about that bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at what is it that the doctor is saying? You know, what is it that your loved one may have complained to you about or to us that wouldn't necessarily get to the doctor? But we're saying, you know, 3 days ago, he complained of this. So we're bringing up those things. And if you have a good geriatric care manager, wherever you are, they're going to know what agency, what organization is at the top of their game. Because those things change, whether it's assisted living, or it's a primary care doctor, or it's a home care agency. As administration changes, as, you know, folks move along, then the services can change as well.
And you might ask how we do that. So part of what I'm doing when I'm out during the week is touching base with those agencies and visiting them just to, you know, presence of mind and to check in and see how things are going and reminding them of the services that we can provide. Yeah, absolutely.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. This is a great conversation, and we try to do this a number of times during the year. And two of the best in with us this morning, Meg Pemberton and Valerie Hobson-Bell from Elder Care Connections, eldercareconnections.net. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking aging this morning, and specifically geriatric care management, with Valerie Hobson-Bell and Meg Pemberton from Elder Care Connections, eldercareconnections.net, if you want to check that out. Valerie, Meg, we've been talking about, I guess, kind of just in the whole realm, and really dealing with families. But
yes.
I guess that there's, as far as the who needs and who uses geriatric care, it's probably much broader than even that.
It is. You know, attorneys are one of our biggest referral people, because they will become guardians for someone. They will take care of all of the business, you know, the financial stuff, but they would rather pay for someone to go and do that monthly visit or to take care mm-hmm. of that person getting to their medical appointments and things like that. They don't want to deal with the details of things. And then their physicians, you know, a lot of times when they see repeat patients who are not following through on mm-hmm. orders,
yep.
even as simple as I had one physician to refer out to us because the person could not figure out how to go and get those TED holes and how to get them on,
yeah.
you know. So when the doctor writes orders and they really would like to see those patients follow mm-hmm. through, then they would look out for a geriatric care manager.
And sometimes those physicians and their staff in the offices who have gotten to know these their patients yes. over time begin to see not only those changes we talked about previously, but also understand the dynamics at home and whether family is close, live far, have family or not. And right. oftentimes folks just don't.
Right.
You know, a lot of times our seniors are aging out and living past their spouses. They may not have had children. We see that a lot. And suddenly it's just them and they need help. So that's another instance.
And let's not forget, some of the seniors, their children are seniors as
yes.
well.
Right.
Yes. So that's another aspect. But banks and financial advisors, they will start seeing, you know, some of their clients starting to get older and maybe making judgments that has not benefited them. Just being concerned about them living on their own. So they'll reach out to a geriatric care manager.
And so. Also from a hospital setting, case managers, you know, when they're sending someone home that doesn't need home health per se, but same sort of situation. Mm-hmm. Family dynamics aren't what we'd like to see. They're concerned that maybe they won't be compliant. So will refer out to us so that we can follow up with them. You know, being that liaison and connection with the physician works as well, but it can also help keep those folks from going back to the hospital.
Okay.
So unnecessary repeated visits to the ER or emergency room, but also admissions because they've been noncompliant. They couldn't get out to pick up a prescription. Or, you know, sometimes it's a financial issue, so we can start to help them with that and recognize, you know, what your current state is and where the resources are and what's the next step, you know, whether it's Medicaid or, you know, whether what other benefits they might be able to take advantage of.
And it goes right back to making a plan again.
Yes.
Wherever they are in this cycle of life or, you know, health care, we need to make a plan to help them get through that next phase.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have situations, because I always think that Driving Miss Daisy is a great movie to yeah. show you, to show just kind of the yeah. aging process. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have situations like that too, of where the family wants you involved, but the person wants nothing to
Absolutely.
Do. As, you know, if anything, you're kind of viewed as an enemy.
Yeah.
So to me, that's one of our greatest challenges that we can overcome. Both Meg and I have this ability to be able to kind of empower the senior person. And so that's giving them control back. So they tend to like us.
Yeah.
We're not going in telling them what they have to do because
yeah.
their adult children are doing that.
Yeah.
We say, here's your options. Which one would you like? And that's giving them control back.
Mm-hmm.
So they really like working with us.
Well, who wouldn't like working
well,
with you
well,
too?
Well, I don't mean personally. I'm just saying we become their advocates.
Yes. Yeah.
Their adult
yes.
children may pay for us to go in, but we're advocating for their needs and rights.
And I think Valerie kind of hit it. It's very important when you're working with them and doing the sort of the initial conversations and assessments to be sure to ask them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes you'll see in a spousal situation, they want different things.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes you're having to kind of figure out. But it's important that you acknowledge that and try and work with them to see how you can meet their goals.
Yeah.
But you have to be honest with them when they can. But in doing so, again, it's about what resources are available and giving them options and help, you know, allowing them to be the decision maker.
That's right.
So that's how you build that relationship.
And something that Meg and I talk about a lot is pulling families out of denial.
Yes.
Folks live there because it's very comfortable when you don't face what's really going on. And so that's been something that we've had to be very creative in getting the families or that adult child to recognize and accept. And again, now here's your options. We have to deal with what is really at hand.
So education is a big part of what we do. And I've had more than one client or family when we're talking about their loved one, and I'll say, they have dementia. And they're like, oh, no, no, they have Alzheimer's disease. So that's, you know, the big flashing light, and that's an opportunity to educate them. And there's a way to do it so that they don't feel threatened or, you know, they're going to be overwhelmed, but there's a way to help them see, you know, exactly what's going on. And, you know.
And I would say we also take the hard road to try to protect the relationships with the adult children. So when it's time to take the keys away, that's one example. We come in, and after working with that senior person, we get them to understand that they can no longer drive. But again, we're saying, but here's options for your transportation. And we're doing this as a professional so that their children, they can maintain that relationship. That anger can now be directed towards these folks they don't know. It's not directed at their family members.
And hopefully that keeps the families, you know, those bonds still strong.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a difficult part for them on both sides. You deal with a lot of guilt on the part of the children because of decisions they may have made or not made, or because they can't be there enough for them.
Exactly.
So you're also actually working with the family. So your focus is a little bit different. So I do spend time with them to help them understand you are going to feel guilty and how to deal with that, because that can be detrimental to the relationship. And to know that you kind of empower them to understand they are enough and they are doing the right things.
That's correct. So, and the last group of folks that we can assist are the employee assistance programs. So, you know, whether you're a large company or not, you could employ our services so that your staff is not spending enormous amount of time on the telephone or taking off from work for them to go and, you know, see this place or talk to this person. We can be an avenue for them to get that job done on a easier pace.
As you deal with all these issues, are there facilities or things that this area is lacking as far as what would as far as geriatric care goes for all of us?
I'm going to say absolutely again. So first, let me say this: I have seen a lot of different aging organizations that feel that they can basically do our job. And to an extent, other people can, but they can't do it to the depth that we go to. As I keep saying, we look at the bigger picture of things. So when you have someone, whether it's in home care or it's in an assisted living who wants to give you advice, they can only give a very limited amount of advice, where we have that experience with all of these different entities. You know, for example, Meg and I was talking earlier about one of the clients that she has who is just now starting to see that he's falling quite a bit and things like that. Well, he says he doesn't need any help. Well, if that's the case, he may not go for regimental physical therapy, but he might take on a personal trainer. So we have our fingers everywhere. We have a personal trainer who is very experienced in working with aging folks. So we can more or less look at the bigger picture and help with those fine details.
So our focus, if you will, isn't centralized on one piece. We don't go into that assessment and say, oh, they're going to go to assisted living. You know, it's we don't have blinders on. We're able to reach out to all of the resources in the community. And when I do a care plan, I lay out each one with options, but give them, you know, the who, the where, and who to contact, and help them make those contacts as well. Whereas someone who has that single focus is going to miss those things on
That's
the outer
correct.
Edge, you know. And if the goal is to stay at home, but your focus is trying to find them an assisted living, or that's all you know, that's what you're going to push toward. And that, to me, isn't the best thing for that client. I want them to be able to meet their goals, be a part of the decision making, because that's part of honoring their dignity. That's honoring them as a human being. Just because they're senior and elderly doesn't mean that they're less than who they were when they were 40, 50, whatever. So that's important to me.
That's correct. I had a client once where the daughter would come down from Alexandria once a week. She'd bring mom all of this food. And then she would come and the food is still in the refrigerator. And so I went and looked and I opened up the refrigerator and the head of lettuce is still whole. It's still a whole head of lettuce. The watermelon is not cut. You know, the cantaloupe. And then the soups and things that she put them in really pretty orange plastic containers. And I said to her, I said, you have to, one, cut up everything, the cantaloupe, the watermelon, the lettuce, and it needs to be in clear containers. Because some folks who have dementia cannot put together, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. So if we want to keep her at home, this is one of the options you can do. Or you can get home-delivered meals, which would cost a little more. But we look at all of those
things.
All of those aspects.
You really have to get in and assess them and talk to them, but look at the home, look in the fridge,
in the
refrigerator,
in the cabinets,
check this, you know, just to see exactly what's going on, and you learn a little bit more.
Yeah, no, just having that kind of knowledge to be able to do that, because I would be getting so frustrated if, you know, like, you know, I've done all this for you. Why aren't you, you know, why aren't you using it? And there might be some very good reasons why.
Absolutely.
That's correct.
And they won't be able to articulate those reasons to you, most likely.
That is correct. Yeah.
So. Geriatric care management, our focus this morning. Meg Pemberton and Valerie Hobson-Bell here talking about things. They're there with Elder Care Connections, eldercareconnections.net. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Meg Pemberton and Valerie Hobson-Bell here this morning as we talk about aging and geriatric care management as we wrap things up. Boy, this has been an eye-opener just because, it always is, Valerie, when we talk about this.
I know.
Because it's the kind of thing you just keep putting off and you've got to, these are sometimes things that you do have to meet head on.
You know, I tell everyone, I don't care how old you are, every night you lay your head down, when you wake up the next day, you have aged.
Well, now there's a great thought.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Valerie.
I am sorry.
Somebody needs to say
we're aging.
Yes, we are.
We're aging all the time. And so why not do it gracefully? Mm-hmm. And the way that you do it gracefully is that you make plans. You know, I know Pat Holland says this all the time, but when you've learned that you're pregnant, you make all sort of plans for your child, even signing up for that, you know, that day school that you want that takes 4 years to get in. So you've planned that out. Why not plan out your aging?
Absolutely. And I think we have to stop thinking about aging as being something we avoid, something that's horrible. It's just, who wants to age? Ageism exists. Very much so in our society. And you know what? I'm proud to say I'm 58.
Absolutely.
You know, I've earned every wrinkle I have. I've learned a lot along the way. I'm certainly smarter now than I was a year or two ago. Do I want to be 25 again? Absolutely not.
Thank
so
you.
There are good things about aging, and it's part of it is planning, part of it is taking care of yourself. I've not always done that, but I am now, and I feel the difference. So that's important.
And I've learned to value today.
Yes.
I've learned to value whatever has come within our 24 mm-hmm. hours.
Yeah.
So with that would be to relieve stress.
Absolutely.
You know?
And relieving that stress is different for everybody. So, you know, for me, it was getting out of the rat race, and now I can control what I do, and I still feel like I'm helping
yeah.
people. I have, you know, a mission, and I can fulfill that. You know, we need to stop thinking of aging as being horrible, and
I think
that's part of what we can do is help seniors and their families understand that, yeah, aging can be a great thing. You can still have fun. You can still be engaged, and it's so important to do that. And so that's one thing I also talk to my clients about is, you know, where to do that and how to do that.
We look at quality of health, we also look at quality of life. And so we write that into the plan, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So it is necessary that families, if you have older loved ones, and maybe they're doing okay right now, but this is the time to start the conversation with them. You know, you want to first get your paperwork in order, get those durable power of attorneys so that someone can speak for you when you need it. I've told the story time and time again. I had a great aunt and uncle who actually called me and my sister and said, I want you all to be our persons. But at the same time, my great uncle is very paranoid that we would take the power of attorney and kind of rule his life. And I said, Uncle Pops, get the power of attorney done, lock it in your little metal box, put it under your bed. That way we know where it is when we need to use it, but you have it until that
exactly.
point. Don't put it in your bank box because nobody can get in there to get it.
Yeah.
But put it under the bed. You know it's there, and we only can get to it when we need it.
And that's something else we help folks understand is the importance of having a power of attorney and a medical power of attorney, but also understanding you're not giving away your rights. As long as you can make
yeah.
your own decisions, nobody can take that away from you.
That's correct.
So there's a lot of, you know, misunderstandings about those documents.
Yes.
We've only got just a minute left, but one of the things I guess we've talked about you working with families and all, I guess you can also be an assistance to caregivers.
Absolutely. And, you know, the numbers of family caregivers in our nation are in the like 46 million plus range. And these are folks who care for their loved ones while holding down other jobs, caring for their own families. They're not paid for it. And on average, they're spending 9 hours a day caring for their seniors. And that's a lot, and it takes a lot from them. So we help families understand what resources are out there to help, whether it's through Healthy Generations, whether it's, you know, I always tell people, if your neighbor says, I'm here to help, you tell them what time to be there and what day. It's also about finding non-medical in-home care providers and what's the best way to go that mm-hmm. route. So we can help them find the assistance they need.
ElderCareConnections.net is the website, ElderCareConnections.net. Valerie, at the end of every show, I always say I'm a little bit older.
But you're also a little bit wiser.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having us.
We get together several times during the year, and we will continue to do that, maybe even do it a little bit more, because this is these are questions that we're all dealing with.
That is.
And it's good to think about them.
Yes.
It is.
And
thank you.
Meg, it's great to meet you.
Oh, it's great to meet you. Thank you so much.
And this is, again, really good information, and you two make a good team.
We think
thank you.
So ElderCareConnections.net is where you find it. Valerie Hobson-Bell here, Meg Pemberton here. And thank you both for what you do for all of us.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. We will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.